Hello, I'm Maggie Kirkwood with Minds on Mushrooms, which is a podcast dedicated to normalizing and destigmatizing psychedelics for mental health and addiction. And you're listening to Excelsior Podcast.
Excelsior!
All aboard, next stop, adventure! This is Excelsior! She would have never gotten a job in radio if this was 1947. If this was 1947, she would have been a terrible secretary. It's Brittany!
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
How's it going?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited that you're here.
I am thrilled to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So we met at actually my last podcast guest movie premiere, one of the many. And you are the mushroom gal.
Yes.
So you have a podcast called Minds on Mushrooms.
I do.
Or is it one mushroom?
No, it's plural. Both. Okay. Minds on Mushrooms.
All the mushrooms.
Yes.
Because you just have one mushroom that you have your mind on.
Nope. I've got my mind on many mushrooms.
And so your story is awesome. And I would love to share it with everybody else. So
yeah.
Tell me about how you got into it. And you also have a new business coming up, not just the podcast.
Yes. Lots going on. Yeah. Well, let's just start. I say podcast. But my story is I'm 44 years of age, and I am still technically married, but going through divorce. And I think my story, as it's relevant, starts about, 6 or 7 years ago. I found myself just kind of in a world of misery. My marriage was falling apart, and I was basically just turning to alcohol to mask everything.
Yeah.
And just extremely depressed, and didn't really know it because I'd never been depressed, and I didn't really know what that looked like. But I know I was crying daily, and not a very religious person, but I was praying essentially to my grandparents who had passed, and just asking for help. Or, you know, I just kind of felt so stuck in everything, in the marriage, in my misery, just lots of shame. I'm a mother, and, you know, just lowest of the lows. And ultimately, fast forward, there was quite a few years of that, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And then I decided there was a separation, and I think that's kind of the beginning of the new Maggie. A friend of mine.
So how long were you in this? You said many years, like probably like 5, 10.
I would say a good solid just 5 to 6 years of not myself, and okay. Just really abusing alcohol, and masking, you know, just trying to hide.
Yeah.
You know, I think that when you're unhappy, you do anything just to get away, you know?
Absolutely.
And through the pandemic, you know.
Oh, everyone, I bet, was that a lot harder?
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, for the world, right?
Well, so, absolutely.
Yeah. But I just think that kind of really, you know, made me realize, wow.
Yeah.
So
let me pause. I know you were a realtor during the pandemic.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess I've never really asked a realtor how it was during that time.
You know, through the pandemic, some realtors really made it big, or, okay, you know, seemed to really thrive. My real estate business was with my ex primarily property management focused, okay, and I would do sales. But actually, it was a a pretty decent, from what I remember.
Yeah.
It didn't really take a huge hit. But then also the government provided that, like, PPP money.
Yeah.
And we were able to capitalize on that for once, which was great. And just to, you know, some extra padding, because in real estate it's very up and down roller coaster sort of, you know.
Yeah.
When you're going to, if and when, you know, make the next yes. deal happen. So, yeah.
Oh, crazy. Okay. Sorry, I was very curious. Continue with your...
No. Anyway, so I ultimately separated physically, and, you know, at that point, I have a child, and she was spending 50% of the time with me because I'm, you know, in a physical new location. And mm-hmm. I think at that point there was like this amazing sense of, okay, independence, you know, and which actually made me turn to the wine even more. You know, I started thinking, okay, well, I'm going to date now. And I'm in order to feel comfortable to date, I'm going to have to drink. And so I think it was at that point where I was like, you know, when I was in my apartment and not with my daughter, where I was just started thinking literally like how miserable alcohol is making me feel.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. You know, I wasn't sleeping. I was waking up in the morning just looking like a California raisin. I knew it was so weird because on one hand, I would say things like, wine is all I have.
Yeah.
And then I just knew like it wasn't good for me. And I need to back up. Alcoholism runs in my family. And you know, I grew up with my father drinking heavily, and from the moments alcohol basically touched my lips, I knew it wasn't good. Or I just knew that it just kind of had this negative thought pattern with alcohol.
Yeah.
So I guess it would be about, well, let's see here. In April is a year and a half no alcohol for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we're not there yet, but but anyway.
So close.
Yeah. So I had a drinking buddy, and my drinking buddy gave me a call one day. He said, Maggie, I have not had a drink in 30 days. And I said, what the fuck? And I was kind of mad because, you know, that was our fun time. And he said, yes, I've been microdosing magic mushrooms. And I thought, wow, weird, because I've honestly used recreationally magic mushrooms for years throughout college, and just always kind of associated the magic mushies as like another party drug, or, you know,
right,
more of like recreational drug. So I said, sign me up. What do I need to do? And I just committed to, I think it was 10 days of just microdosing, but with intention. So literally making an intention each day, saying, you know, I think I started off like, help me to just feel like I'm not going to die because I can't drink today. And the strangest part is, I would say about day six, or not even a full week into the microdosing, I just kind of, it was like this message was coming to me like, you don't ever need to drink again.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know how to describe it other than that. It was like these mushrooms were so magical. They literally flipped this switch of, you know, here I am, I'm 44. I started drinking, you know, when I was 17. And it just flipped the switch in my brain where alcohol is literally poison to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at it and I'm just have no desire. I don't ever think about it. I don't, you know. And so it was so magical to me that, you know, just a week before, I'm telling myself, wine is all I have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just this whole switch was flipped, whatever. And so I found that extremely exciting, and wondering, why why aren't we all, you know, talking about this? Or at least in the land of alcoholism and addiction, like, you know, because when I was struggling and crying daily, you know, I would think to myself, how do I get out of this? I guess I could go to AA or I could go to rehab. And both of those options just were not any option I was ever going to entertain.
Right. And it is like hearing that too, like even somebody who is addicted, like I feel like that's just such a negative energy where I don't know. It's not for everybody.
It is. I feel the same in that, like, AA is AA and will always be AA. But as far as like the rehab, you know, part, I feel, you know, not everyone can afford it, and not everyone can afford to take 30 days out of their life, and the whole stigma with going to rehab, and
it's a whole commitment, and it's a whole lifestyle change. Yeah.
And so here I was, just, you know, on day 5, 6, thinking, "Wow, Maggie doesn't need to drink ever again."
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
So it really, like I keep saying, was this magical thing. And I just, I guess I just wanted to know more.
Yeah.
And I continued to microdose. And I think, you know, when you quit drinking, of course, there's all sorts of benefits, right?
Yeah.
But I truly feel that in conjunction with consuming, no longer consuming alcohol and consuming psilocybin, I just started on this path of just like enlightenment, I don't know, the rewiring of my brain. So all of this was really kind of just like self-discovery. I knew I wasn't drinking, and I, you know, recreationally would pop a mushroom or, you know, I started to feel more comfortable with taking higher doses and really learning like the therapeutic benefits of them.
Yeah.
And I just slowly, you know, realized that there's all sorts of traumas and just, you know, we talk about trauma like it has to be a major, major thing to hit you, you know, blindside you.
Yeah.
Which obviously that's the real deal. But there's traumas in everyday life or just situations that, you know, I can go on and on, but I have had some very traumatic things happen to me that I feel, you know, let's just say a late term miscarriage that my husband ex, you know, I feel like we just kind of just swept that under the rug. You know, you're sad.
Oh, yeah.
But it was...
Which is harder on a woman than it is the man, because...
I think so. And there's no physical baby to, you know. So it's kind of like, I think, I love the idea, actually, of working with women who have had pregnancy loss. Because the mushrooms were able to help me literally connect and grieve and have a very special... trip essentially dedicated to you know, losing a baby. And you know, this is just one example of trauma, but I feel that with the mushrooms, the more I was exploring and again just feeling comfortable, like saying, wow, that was a beautiful experience last night, or journaling, and just, it was probably around the 6 or 7 month point after I had stopped drinking, where I've realized, wow, I think I'm no longer, you know, crying daily. And I had a very significant experience happen, which I'm here to tell you about, I think. But what had happened was right around, I think it was 6 months after I quit drinking, I was up in Duluth. I was with a group of people and feeling comfortable, and took a very significant dose of mushrooms. I guess they call it like a hero's dose or heroic dose. I just popped those babies. But I had, I guess, my first a mystical experience. So it was where I felt like I was connecting with my past grandparents, essentially.
Wow. And
it was so crazy because I wasn't intending for any of this to happen.
But you even mentioned that you were praying earlier to your grandparents.
So, yes. So the way it all went down is I must have been crying. I remember I was listening to music and just having a wonderful time and feeling visually stimulated and just really great and comfortable. And the story is my nephew passed away. This is about 13 years ago. And I was in charge of calling my grandfather and telling him. And I called my grandfather and he passed away that night. So truly, between losing, you know, your nephew and your aged grandparent, there was no grieving or, you know, grieving the loss of my grandpa, because when a baby, a physical baby, passes away, that's the most horrific thing that can happen.
How old was your nephew?
6 months.
Oh.
So the long and short of it is, I believe when I was up in Duluth having my heroic dose, I was thinking about my grandparents, or I was thinking about my grandpa, because I truly do miss my grandfather. Was one of the most amazing humans. And that's when this mystical experience happened. It was like, I don't know how to describe it. I didn't see my dead grandpa.
Yeah.
But he entered my conscious mind and was talking to me, you know, not like I could hear his voice, but messages were, it was just so clear that he was in my mind and sending me messages. And he was saying, Maggie, these are tears of happiness. You're no longer crying tears of sadness. Think about your life. Think about how much you've done, you know, to be a better mother and person, and, you know, not drinking, and, you know, just taking the steps to get out of this unhealthy, sad marriage. And it was so true. And I was just like, wow, you know, thank you. And, you know, then the whole experience, I mean, honestly, was several hours long, but it was just my maternal grandma was in there, and my dad's, my paternal grandmother. And it was just the most beautiful, you know, they say, I think the word is ineffable. You just, words don't do the experience justice.
Yeah.
So it's just so indescribable. But it was just probably one of the most significant events, I guess, for me, because I went to bed that night just feeling, you know, I could die right now and everything will be okay.
Wow.
And just, I had shed like so many layers of just like all of this shame, like shame around everything, like heading to I was going to go play college basketball. That didn't really work out.
Yeah.
Shame around a failed marriage, shame around drinking, shame around whatever you can think of.
Yeah.
And I feel like in this one, through months, I guess, of microdosing and experimenting with, you know, medium doses, and then this hero's dose, it was just kind of like I came out of it like, boom, new Maggie. Like, just, I don't know, the term enlightened kind of, you know, drives me nuts, but that's exactly how I felt. I just felt like I was in this, just this halo of like a new being.
Yeah.
And I truly, I could go on and on and on and on. But the major key point was, during that experience, my grandfather told me, he said, Maggie, you are here to share your story about how you've healed and help as many people as you possibly can. So I took that and I ran with it.
Yes, that's amazing.
And I think, yeah, that's kind of what just put me on this path where I do need to share my story, and I need to help as many people as I possibly can, because it's like we have had this medicine for millions of years. It's a very sacred medicine. But I think that because of its magic and, you know, just it needs to be more accessible for people. And people who are fucking struggling. Like, we all are. I mean, especially post-pandemic. I mean, and I think that ever since I've kind of, you know, started believing and trusting in the medicine, it's really just opened up all sorts of doors and paths and connections and meeting like extremely wonderful people like yourself and the beautiful Amy Chanel. And I just truly believe that it's nothing, the medicine is nothing more than magic.
Oh, I totally agree. And I'm learning more and more about mushrooms, especially it's so funny with talking to Amy and kind of just all this new information about mushrooms coming out. I kind of put it out there. I want to learn more. And then I ran into you. And so this is so exciting.
And I think that it's a constant, honestly, conversation and constant. We have just like literally scratched the surface when it comes to, I think, plant medicine, but fungi in general. I mean, it is, I think it was just in the 1980s when they decided that mushrooms or fungus aren't just an ordinary plant. Like, there's a lot more going on.
There's so much going on. And I'm learning so much, and there's so much more to learn. And how I think it's fascinating how they, like, is it the mycelium gets into the ground and makes these like connections through all the plants so that they can communicate.
So literally the entire earth is covered underneath the soil, which covers our entire earth, is the mycelium network. Yes, it's a living and breathing and moving largest organism in the entire, you know, and, you know, it's fantastic. I mean, that's how plants communicate. And I mean, there's all sorts of documentaries and, you know, but
coming out about it.
Yes, it's just so fascinating to me. And you know, part of my belief is, because I'm not a very religious person, is, you know, I feel that when we die, the earth consumes us and we join that network.
I've heard that. I've heard that theory. That's very, I mean, I heard somebody else say that, and I constantly think about that. I'm like trying to grasp, like, what if we do, like, die and become a part of that network and become a part of that system. And
to me, it's a happy ending.
Right? Because I mean, the mushroom does eat us.
I mean,
it's crazy to think.
It's all, there's so much to learn.
We eat them and they eat us.
That's
a weird, relationship that we have with them. And if I can share a little story about some mushroom experience that I've had.
I'd love to hear.
So I have, around the time I got married too, I had all these health issues in my guts and like phlegm and like just crazy like gut issues. I couldn't eat anything. And I went to the doctor, many doctors, and no one could tell me what's going on. And I think up north to a cabin for our honeymoon. And we had a little bit of mushrooms. But my intentions when in nature, I kind of was like, I want to figure out what is going on with my body because it was driving me insane. I couldn't eat anything without getting sick. Everything was so bad. I was inflamed and I couldn't figure out if I was allergic to something or some doctor gave me cold medicine it was just really frustrating. And when I took the mushrooms, thing just came to me, and it was like, well, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, and
wow.
if you go on this diet for a little bit in days, you'll feel better.
So just like the messages of the mushroom, that's yeah. what I like to say. So the thoughts that were coming to your head mm-hmm. were kind of like just guiding you away from certain things and helping you to figure out the mystery of your...
I mean, everything was clear to me.
Wow.
What was happening in my gut. I could tell you exactly what was happening. I could tell you exactly what caused it months ago.
Oh.
Because it was probably like 4 months that I was yeah. this ill.
Mm-hmm.
I changed my diet, and within 3 days,
wow.
on vacation, I was feeling better.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
There you go.
I know, and I still think about that to this day. I'm like, I just had to go up north and breathe a little bit to get the answers from nature.
Right.
So
there's all sorts. I know of a story where someone was just kind of dabbling with some psychedelic mushrooms, and a similar story. It was like, telling her she needed to go in, and turns out she had, I believe it was breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like this, she consumed the mushrooms, and it was just this strong like notion or message, like, you need to get this looked at, go in, get it looked, and she did. And it's a happy ending, you know,
yeah.
but it's just... It's funny with my mushroom podcast, like I kind of, it's Minds on Mushrooms, but I'm like, I want to name it like Mushroom Messages.
Ooh, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And now your mushroom message
yes.
for today.
because that's how I feel the medicine works, and all
yeah.
plant medicine really, but with the mushies,
And it's so wild. It just, yeah, it makes you get these clear...
Yes.
Visions of the world. And it's,
yeah.
it answers your question. Like,
yes.
it clears your head up. It's wild. Yeah.
So wild. Yeah.
So I am all about learning more about, and so now talk about Bloom.
Yes.
Because Bloom is a business that you're going to start alongside your
yes.
Minds on Mushrooms.
So I have a new venture. So with the podcast Minds on Mushrooms, there's just been an incredible, you know, just very positive feedback, and it's been wonderful. But so many people are wondering, you know, how do I get access? How do I do this? How does it work?
Yeah.
And I decided to start Bloom, which is essentially transformative microdosing coaching. So I think that when it comes to, well, let's just say consuming psilocybin, there's so many questions, right? And I think that in today's world, there's a lot of jargon, and we've got your microdose and we've got your macrodose. To me, it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so individual. So, you know, for me, my main goal was to get help with stopping drinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big thing to have to accomplish or, you know, take care of. When people microdose, I think it's at the very basic level, the mushrooms are providing you a feeling of connectedness, being more present, just a mood enhancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can take a little bit more when you're feeling comfortable and start trying to tackle some of the deeper issues, such as depression, anxiety, PTSD, because what happens is when you're taking a larger dose, the mushroom is, the medicine is going to, you know, kind of draw up some of those unresolved traumas that
mm-hmm.
you've had. And it's not laughing and giggling and...
Exactly.
You know, you are faced with it. And that's healing.
Yeah.
And so when you get to that spot where you're ready to take it on, it... it can be heavy, but it always ends beautifully. And that's why I think they call it a trip, because it's all the different part, you know, you go on vacation. Does everything go 100% beautifully? Never.
Yeah.
So, but you, I think that with Bloom, I just really want to be, you know, support for people with all the questions. There's so many questions around the dosing, in particular, but I think it's more of a, you know, it's a journey. So I want to offer support from the micro to the macro and everything in between.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited because there's, you know, just so many people curious, and it makes me happy because I know that this medicine makes us kinder,
yeah,
more patient, just more beautiful humans.
Yeah.
And I think that there's, you know, the biggest thing when it comes to my podcast, it's just really the stigma that is so there still. And it's really just trying to normalize and you know, really talk about this like it's an everyday normal thing, just yeah. like popping your prescription, you know, antidepressant pill.
Right, because those are a lot more intense, and then I feel like more, what am I thinking? Like, it's more chemicals, and it's not as good for you when you're taking all these pills.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's up. Every individual, you know, needs to decide for themselves, you know, is my medication that I've been taking for X amount of time working? And in some cases, I'm sure it is. But there's so many people out there that, you know, are treatment resistant, or the pills that they're taking aren't working for them. And all sorts of different cases. But yes, I'm thrilled to just kind of have this opportunity with Bloom to just share, again, my story and try and help as many people as I possibly can.
Do you think that we're going to move towards mushrooms becoming legal in the future?
Well, we've taken... you know, I'm so proud to live in Minneapolis, and that was actually a very pivotal point for me after that first mystical experience that I had had up in Duluth, and I came home this, you know, recharged, just completely new person. I think it was like 3 days later that it was announced that in Minneapolis, psychedelics had been deprioritized, meaning... the selling or gifting or buying, you won't be prosecuted. They're the lowest priority of any offense.
Okay.
So the next step would be decriminalization, but that comes at a state level.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, I'm fortunate enough with the podcast to have met and consider friends of mine that were actually helped write the executive order for Mayor Fry to do the
deprioritization. Okay, I know, I had to think of it too.
And they are working like crazy. You know, there's all different models. So it could be, you know, in the works right now, it would be more of a medical, you know, legalization model. Just kind of similar to cannabis, you know, it was medically legalized and then took, I think between the decriminalization of cannabis and recreational legalization was 9 years.
Oh my gosh.
But the good news is...
That's so crazy. 9 years.
Yeah, we've got...
That's so bad for people.
But we've got, you know, that movement alone paved... Mm-hmm. the path. And I think that Minnesota is right. You know, we've got other states where it's legal, Colorado, it's legal in Portland, but I feel that Minnesota is doing great as far as showing their interest and saying, we believe and we want this legalized in some form. Governor Walz has put together a psychedelic task force that's basically charged with, it's made up of like neuroscientists, Native American tribal leaders, patients, therapists, all, you know, this huge team of people. And they are tasked with, finding research and kind of like just putting together like their case as to, you know, why things should be legalized and in what model. So that's very exciting to me because that I know is. Other states aren't, you know, doing anything.
Well, good job, Minnesota. I thought we were just like the, you know. Yeah, we need this
the cloud. So that's very exciting to me. And yes, when it was the executive order was put in place for the deprioritization. Oh my God. I literally took that as a sign as, all right, you know, Maggie, this is, you know, you live in Minneapolis. This isn't, you know, your time to start sharing your success with the medicine and how it changed your life and why you're still alive because of it.
Everything kind of aligned.
Pardon. Yes, everything aligned.
I love that so much. And that's exciting to think about mushrooms being legal in hopefully the future just for medicinal use.
Yeah.
So medicinal? I know. We just look at our words today.
Our words today. I think that it's so, you know, if you look at the federal level, MDMA, which is actually not really a plant medicine, but it's been, it's real close to being medically legalized federally, which, you know, to be used in a medical setting. Mm-hmm. So MDMA is having like huge, a lot of vets are, who have, with the deep PTSD are experiencing great breakthroughs with MDMA. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a great sign because people, you know, just seeing people being able to heal in real time, you know, so my hope is the more we talk and the more we share and the more people know and realize, wow, there's been such a stigma, you know, since the war on drugs for these beautiful plant medicines, that it'll just be normalized and in turn legalized.
Yeah. And that would be wonderful. Now, we've talked a lot about the positives of mushrooms. Mm-hmm. What are some negative effects?
Yeah, I think that, you know, psilocybin, I literally consider it the greatest tool that our earth offers us. Mm-hmm. And with that comes great responsibility in using it.
Yeah.
I guess some of the negative effects would be somebody who's not responsible and consuming more than what they're ready for. When we talk about set and setting, it's a huge aspect to using psilocybin. You really need to be in a safe setting because, like I had mentioned before, when you're taking a larger dose, the mushrooms are going to draw up kind of unresolved trauma or situations that are pretty uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so you know, set and setting are huge, and just being responsible. So if you are going, you know, I always advise that you have, you know, for a therapist would be amazing, but because this isn't all legalized and models like that are rare, you know, having a friend or a loved one around and just having this conversation, hey, I'm looking to heal tonight, or I'm looking for this experience. Will you make sure I'm safe? It's the same as kind of drinking and driving. You know, you don't want to be behind the wheel intoxicated, and you don't want to be, you want to be in a safe, setting when you're under the powers of the medicine.
Yeah. Because do you think that if you're not, say, I mean, obviously, like, driving is super dangerous because things move. Yeah. And lights kind of are, especially at night, if lights, I think, would, like, be moving. But, like, mindset, like, do you think that doing it when you're not ready or doing too much, you could have a mental breakdown?
Well, okay, first I want to start with, it's all about dosage, right? Mm-hmm. So when we talk about microdosing, per se, that is consuming such a small amount where it's sub-perceptual. So you should be able to drive. There literally should be zero effect because it's sub-perceptual. It's such a mm-hmm. small amount. If anything, it would feel like maybe you've had a really awesome cup of espresso and you know, kind of like a perform, like you've got some pep in your step, right?
Yeah.
Anything beyond that, you really need to be considerate about how and where you're consuming. And so that would go back to set and setting. I don't know. As far as consuming such a large dose where it would lead to a breakdown, I don't know if I'm, like, qualified to yeah. speak on that, but my thoughts are, especially with this journey and just meeting the most incredible people kind of in the psychedelic realm, I feel that the main message is, you know, plant medicine and psilocybin is never going to give you more than what you can't handle. Mm-hmm. Like, it's there to work with you. It's yeah. there to help heal you. It's there to, you know, peel back some layers where it is uncomfortable, but then the outcome is so much more rewarding because yeah. you now understand, or it's taken off, you know, just why it's wild.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that, for example, this fall, there was some sort of story about he was a pilot, but he wasn't actually flying the plane, but he tried to, like, open the door mid-flight, and he had said, oh, well, I had mushrooms 48 hours ago. And
this is a true story.
Yes, this is a true story. It happened this fall, and my parents were, like, sending me these articles left and right because this point...
What happened? Oh, my gosh, I got to know more.
Well, it was... literally that. He's a pilot, but he wasn't flying. He just happened to be a passenger on this plane, and he acted crazy and tried to, open the emergency door to the plane. But the long and short of it was, he said, well, I had had mushrooms 48 hours ago. Well, guess what? He could have been, who knows what else sort of mental health issues he's dealing with.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to look at with taking the medication. It's that responsibility, because yes, I think that, you know, if people have some of these major disorders such as personality disorders and higher levels of mental health issues, you know, they're not the best candidates.
So another thing is maybe not being responsible is to take it when you're going on an airplane in the first place. Or maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, because you're like, I would.
My thing is, you know, if this is a new thing for you,
yeah,
it's truly, yeah, you don't want to make just you don't want to be you need to be responsible. So,
yes.
Like anything,
it's a medicine. Yeah, you don't take a ton of anything, any medicine that you think about, like even melatonin. Like you take, they say over 3 milligrams is overdosing.
Really?
Yeah. And
I just bought some 10 mg's last week and I like it.
Right? That's what I'm saying. But then, I mean, but think about, like, if I were to take like 15, 20, probably wouldn't feel right.
Right.
You know, so it is a medicine, and I get that And who knows if that guy even ate mushrooms?
That's what I'm saying.
He could have just blamed that.
And it's so easy as soon as, you know.
And if he is mentally ill, it's not unlikely that he would pop mushrooms, smoke weed, and drink and do anything, you know. And what else did he have it with? And what else?
Right.
There's so many factors because mental illness is a pretty common, unfortunately, and serious thing.
Yeah.
That can happen.
Yeah. My whole point with that is it's like we don't know. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I wish I did know.
I know.
Maybe we'll Google later.
Now, with your coaching, do you coach people to be prepared who haven't done it before?
100%. So, I have a handful of clients right now, which is so exciting. And I've got, you know, someone who's just looking to just feel more connected. They're kind of just feeling just stuck in the mundane day to day, you know, just looking for just a small dose of daily bliss or looking to see more color and light within mm-hmm. their week or life. And then, you know, I've got someone who's looking to rid herself of Adderall that she's been taking for...
Oh, God, Adderall is the worst.
13 years. And she's, you know, I'm advising her to talk with her doctor. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a lot of hard work, right? And so with... you know, the coaching, it's, you have to look at the psilocybin as a tool, and that's all it is a tool. But it's coming, the change has to come from you, the person. And I think that a lot of people need assistance and defining exactly what their goals are or what they want to accomplish or, you know, certain unresolved traumas. So I think that, back to your question, which I hope I'm answering.
Yeah.
I'm here to help in any capacity. And it's truly a journey. It's, mm-hmm. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a few other reasons to do microdosing. Anybody can do it. Just it helps with like if you want to just highlight some benefits for different types of reasons to microdose.
Sure. So I think I was saying earlier, like at the basic level, let's say you were taking the smallest amount mm-hmm. Over the accumulative period that you were to take a small dose of microdosing, some basic effects would be this feeling of connectedness, this feeling where you're more present. So I had a client of mine, she was so funny, she started microdosing and she's like, I actually enjoyed playing Legos with my boys this morning.
Oh my gosh.
So just like that little, like, you know, rather than escaping or, oh, I got to clean that, you know, it just it makes you more involved. And like I said, a mood enhancer. And then, you know, I think if you were to microdose over time, it starts for me, a few months in, but really just started chipping away at the layers of depression. I mean, and just really rewiring and connecting my brain to different receptors. I mean, so we know scientifically that psilocybin helps with neuroplasticity, and it's literally helping our brain connect and grow and repair and rebuild. Like I said, other areas for microdosing, depression, anxiety, performance anxiety is a huge one. I have clients who, microdose before putting on a presentation.
I might need that. I have performance anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, and the beauty with it is, I truly feel that if you trust in the medication, you can ask it to help you with whatever your heart desires. I mean, for me, microdosing played a key role in my divorce. We had owned a real estate brokerage together and kind of dividing it. No lawyer had the answers. Nobody did. It's just because it's so emotional and it's so... And I literally turned to the medicine and I said, I need help. Like, this is a huge problem I have. Yeah. Can you help create or help me to think of a solution or ways where this makes sense? Yeah. And it took a while. But yes, I ultimately came up with the solution to our divorce.
Oh my gosh.
Clap, please.
Yes. Now you started clapping.
Thank you. No. So I think like that's what's so beautiful about it. It doesn't have to. It could be this major change. I want to quit drinking for life.
Yeah.
Or I want to work on, you know, I have a difficult relationship with my sister-in-law or, you know, and it's truly, and the beauty of it also is starting so small, like sub-perceptual. You're not even feeling significant change, but just knowing and trusting that if you're going to take that medicine over 6, 8 weeks, 6, 8 months, you're going to see these changes happen. It's not about tripping out and, seeing rainbows. And I never see rainbows either when I'm tripping out. But right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's healing your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yes. It's wonderful.
Well, I'm so excited about what all of the things that you're doing, about sharing the information and and we'll drop your podcast in so people can go to it and listen to. How many episodes do you have?
I'm on 8. Mm-hmm. 8 are out. So it's Minds on Mushrooms is on YouTube. It's a visual podcast, which
You know Brittany as a podcast host extraordinaire. Did you know she doubles as a gifted photographer for weddings, businesses, headshots, portraits? Don't settle for a cell phone photo. Call a pro. For any of your photo needs, it's Brittley Photography. Everyone has a story. What's yours? Are you single in the Twin Cities? Are you sick of Tinder, Christian Mingle, and OkCupid? Meet real people in real life. For real. Go to stassidates.com. That's S-T-A-S-S-I dates.com. If you don't know how to spell dates, maybe you shouldn't be dating. Stassi Dates, the land of 10,000 dates.
It's fun, but it's also a lot of work.
Yeah.
I love this. Like, this is, you're my first podcast.
Oh,
my
yay.
First guest, whatever, appearance. Yes.
Another one. Yay!
I know. But this is very comfortable and cozy, you know.
Oh, I'm glad, yeah.
The visual piece adds a layer, but I do love it. I'm such a visual person.
I love visuals. Maybe someday I'll be visual, but
yeah,
I haven't gotten there yet.
And then I'm also, Minds on Mushrooms is also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Perfect.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get down, you know, I want to do a weekly one and I've kind of made some changes. I'm my own producer now. Let's put it that way.
Yay. So, another one. Yeah. There's lots of cats.
So that's just like a wonderful feeling because I feel, you know, I can roll and my whole point is it's going to be, I'm taking just some new thought into it. And I think it's my guests are going to be a little bit more, you know, hand picked. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I'm just kind of trying to, I'm sure with your podcast, you know, it's forever changing, right? And evolving. And I really do want to stick to my purpose, which I feel is literally sharing my story and helping people. And I think the alcoholism piece is such a big, important part of my story and my journey, and I'm really finding that a lot of the people that are wanting to reach out and learn more about psilocybin and magic mushrooms, a lot of alcohol is a big part of that. So I kind of see my audience maybe forming more, and just in real life I've just connected with the most amazing people who are, you know, honoring sobriety and trying to celebrate sobriety in the most fantastic ways, which this has just kind of become a part of my normal life now. So I feel like it could take more of a, I don't have the verbiage, but, you know, like a really just kind of normalizing sobriety and other ways to celebrate.
I love that.
Yeah.
A lot. Because I really like the sober lifestyle and everything that's coming out. There's stores, there's bars, there's so many things that are happening. There's sauna meetups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My soul sister, Jen.
Yeah.
She has done, you know, I'm so hashtag blessed.
Yeah. I know. I love it.
To be just, you know, she came into my life through my journey. So that's why it's so important. But yes, I think it's, I kind of feel like it's this new age of just like collaboration. Mm-hmm. And when you're so passionate about shit, it's, you know, aligning and for me, I feel the psilocybin magic mushrooms literally saved my life, but have also just helped me to see things in different light, and it all just feels so great and good. And again, it kind of goes back to that piece when you're struggling and you have a problem, maybe a drinking problem, there's other avenues to turn to, and I want people to know that, like, it doesn't have to be, you know, I cried in my basement for 5 years, okay?
I get it. I also, you know, I lived in Wisconsin. I moved to Wisconsin when I was 15, and that's all they do is drink there.
You moved to your family, or
Well, my parents, and so, you know, they can drink in the bars with their kids at any age. Yep. So I went to the bars at 15 with my dad.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. That's so weird. My friends, a lot of my friends' parents would throw us parties.
Okay.
And let us drink. And if anyone needed a parent call, and the parent would just say, hey, yep, we got them.
Oh my goodness.
They're good. And the house would just be filled with people. We'd all just sleep. It'd be like a party. But that's just normal for Wisconsin. And it was super fun. But it's not a healthy lifestyle. So I love what you're doing. And it's, I think that as a whole, we need to stop treating alcohol like it's a way out.
Yeah. Just a little note on that. If you Google the drunkest counties in America, there's literally a ring around Wisconsin, and
I've lived in all of them.
But my point is, it's like not our fault. Like, we grew up, you know, it's so ingrained in our culture, and it's just like, I think it's very environmental. It's, you know, what do? We want to go to a bar, be with friends, watch sports, whatever it is.
Well, the bars are so communal, and that's the thing about us wanting to build a community. Mm-hmm. The bar is a place to do that, to meet your neighbors, to meet your community.
Right.
So,
But so anyway, then it's like, you know, it's just become this thing that is so normal. And so like, for example, my daughter plays basketball, and it's like, you know, after the games or during the away tournaments, let's go to the bars and let's drink. And like that's just so normal. And it's like, it's funny for me just to kind of like take a step back, and I'm like, okay, well, what if I were to like light up a joint right now?
Right.
Or like, you know, take, for me, that's a much more healthy option. But again, it's because it's become so normalized.
Then I do have to say too, there are the thing that with the sobriety that I kind of mentioned as well is, so there's people like a lot of people like you who, you know, go turn to THC or marijuana, and there's seltzers now, and it's like, cool, I don't have to drink. I have this, and I can feel really relaxed. But then there's people like me who if I drink a THC drink, I'll be up all night, like, just, like,
My
brain's head spinning, like, not even present, just, like, in this world of, like, or maybe overly present. I don't know how to describe it. But so I've learned that I just stay away from THC. Mm. So for people, there are people out there like that who are alcoholics or drink a lot and they want to quit, but they don't have an alternative.
Mm.
And so, I don't know. I like the sobriety life and the sober life and kind of introducing people to, like, ways to just break the habit of having to feel anything when you go out, except for interpersonal connections. Because I think that drinking and doing anything.
Substances.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to bash THC. I love it. I think it's great for people. But sometimes we don't even need that. Like, learning to connect with other people can be fulfilling, and that may be what you're trying to avoid by drinking and feeling that false connection.
And I love how everything's coming back to mushrooms, but mushrooms have greatly helped me with that. When I started my sober journey or not drinking journey, I was, you know, petrified about, oh, I have to go to this social setting and hang out with people who have been drinking. And my friends drink. That's another thing I've learned. It's like, but anyway, so I was, you know, turning to mushrooms to help me feel more social or connected. And over time, the mushrooms basically, you know, there's a very, have taught me, I'm Maggie. I'm a beautiful, bubbly person, and I can go to a bar and not have to be under THC. You know, it's so interesting to me because it's no longer as challenging. Like, it's something to look forward to and kind of take pride in.
It is. You know? Once you get to that point and I just want, like, you know, anyone who thinks that alcohol, like, they cannot quit. Once you get over the hard part, you'll be so excited about the journey of what you're capable of and what you're capable of feeling and doing. And it's almost like you feel smarter and energized and like a whole new person.
I think a big thing for me was actually just really looking into and researching what alcohol was doing to my brain.
The science.
And yes. And at the end of the day, you know, I made a pro and con, like, pros of drinking. Anyway, the only thing that alcohol, which I decided at the end of my research phase.
Yeah.
The only thing it was providing me was depression and anxiety. Literally.
Oh my gosh.
And so
it's true. It's like a high for like 1 second. You're ruining the day tomorrow. You're ruining your body for a week. You're ruining your mood.
Yeah. I mean, just reading, if you have, you know, a drink on a Thursday, you're still dealing with that beverage come Monday. And then the people who are, you know, so I was going to say something. It's also very just so amazing to me because I started looking at some of these brain scans of depressed brains.
Yeah.
And then you can find research out, you know, with psychedelics and how they affect the brain scans.
Yeah.
And it's just so, you know, night and day. With the I know, it's so fun to look at. But a depressed brain on alcohol, I think that's one of the most major, when I started realizing, like, my brain is that.
Yeah.
It was a huge turning point. Like, because you have to be ready. You can't, you know, you have to realize that this is something that's ultimately killing me and I am so down and I need help.
Yeah.
And I want, but I was ready, but I needed the mushrooms to help me, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've thought about that, like, with the podcast and with Bloom or whatever. It's, I think, a critical piece is acknowledging the science and what alcohol can do to our brains. And once people start to see that, it could help them to realize, you know, for me it did.
It's a poison and your brain is actually, like, dying. And when you're stumbling around, that's your body dying, your brain kind of fading out.
Yeah.
And it's bananas. And now question for you. Mm-hmm. Do you, because you're coaching and because you're doing this mushroom podcast, do you continue education, and how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts. It's such a new space, mm-hmm. and there's a ton of kind of like certificate and trainings.
Oh, cool.
So yes, I've been looking to see exactly what program matches and aligns with my goals.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many. And also, it's, I love, you know, the...
That's a good problem to have.
Right. But I, yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, a good retreat, I find, you know, it's funny because you go to college, you get your degree, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's just so many different routes. Do I want to get more on the therapy side? Mm-hmm. Do I want to just stick? It could be political, mm-hmm. you know, I could be lobbying. So good question. But there's many, many programs out there. One that holds interest for me, it's called Third Wave. And I know a handful of just really great people that took that certificate and training course. I think it was like a 12-week thing. And I just kind of stand by their message and the work that they've put behind it. So, yeah.
Very cool. Now, with this, do you think that, like, you... Because there, I've just talking to you, I feel like there's so many avenues you can go with mm-hmm. this, and you could even be available to, like, guide people through the quitting alcohol process. Is that something that you are interested in doing?
Yeah, I think that, you know, with coaching, so I do have a client who has decided that they have a quit date. And that's what we're going to do. So it's a very different scenario, I think, than just, you know, I'm looking into microdosing. Like, it's, for me, again, it's you have to acknowledge that you're ready. And then, you know, I think that the dosing is very crucial and probably of a higher microdose. The dosing, I wish that micro and macro didn't even exist.
Yeah.
Because it just everybody overthinks it, which they should. But it's, you know, when I say a higher macrodose, you know, it just causes, I don't want to confuse.
Yeah.
But I think that with this particular individual and in my case, I was taking about a half a gram, which in microdosing world would be super high.
Yeah.
Not super, but long and short of it, his goal is a larger need, wanting to quit drinking. It's going to take a little bit more coaching mm-hmm. and dosing.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Very cool. Well, yeah. I might have to introduce you to one of my friends.
Oh, well, I'd love to meet. And I think, again, at the end of the day, it's just acknowledging, like, the medicine and
yeah.
what it's helped and what, you know, the potential of it, and just having a conversation around it. Because
yeah.
I think that everybody is in such different, whatever their goals are or what they've heard, and the stigma
yeah.
All plays into it.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I'm so excited. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kimberly. This has been so fun.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you need to be on Minds on Mushrooms.
Yep. You tell me when.
I know. We'll start a planning.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will. We have so many things to do. I don't even know how to end this, so I'm so excited.
Well, it's been so fun. And thank you. Thank you. And I can't wait to
eat mushrooms with me.
Yeah. Let's go have some truffles or forage. Let's go foraging.
Oh, can we?
I would love to.
I would love that. That's my dream. We're going to do it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, show your support and join our Patreon team. Go to excelsiorp.com.